This is tape number 4 in the basic training series. The message by Melva Lee is entitled, Praying for Your Family.
The devil will do anything. He will stop at no lengths to destroy the righteous seed in the earth. Amen. You will remember in the scripture that after Jesus was born, the first thing the enemy did was tried to kill him through Herod.
Amen.
Let's turn, I have never done this before, but today, let's turn to Matthew 1. And we're going to read some fun verses that are just going to edify you to pieces. You're going to get all kinds of revelation out of this passage. We're going to read the genealogy. Okay, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Amminadab. Amminadab begot Nashon. Nashon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. By who? Rahab. Who was Rahab? That's right. She was the harlot. She was the one that helped the spies at Jericho. What's she doing in this genealogy? So Boaz, Salmon begat Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begat Obed by Ruth. Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king. Now, can you believe God would do something like that? He allowed David the king to come through a great-great-grandmother who was a prostitute. Do you see maybe why Boaz, whenever Ruth came to him, a foreigner from another country who had embraced his God, why he didn't have any trouble receiving her and being her kinsman redeemer? Because his mama had been a foreigner who had embraced the Lord. Isn't that great? Oh my. But don't we have some strange people in our family trees? Not perfect like we are, right? David the king then begat Solomon. Oh, what a day this is going to be today. Yes. David the king begat Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah. Who are we talking about there? Bathsheba. Solomon begat Rehoboam. Who was he? Only the meanest, vilest, most wicked king in all of Israel. Rehoboam begat Abijah, and Abijah begat Asa, and Asa begat Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat begat Joram, and Joram begat Uzziah, and Uzziah begat Jotham, and Jotham begat Ahaz, and Ahaz begat Hezekiah. He's righteous. Hezekiah begat Manasseh, Manasseh begat Amon, they were all bad, and Amon begat Josiah, and he was a child king, and Josiah begat Jeconiah and his brothers about the time they were carried away to Babylon, and after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconiah begat Shealtiel, and Shealtiel begat Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel begat Abijah, and Abijah begat Eliakim, and Eliakim begat Azor, and Azor begat Zadok, and Zadok begat Achim, and Achim begat Eliud, and Eliud begat Eleazar, and Eleazar begat Mathan, and Mathan begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. Hallelujah. Now then, why did I read that? Surely not to tell you that I know how to pronounce all those words, because I don't. But just to say that through all of our genealogies, all of our family trees, God is working. Some generations are godly. Some generations are ungodly. Some generations were ungodly that got godly. But through our family trees, God is trying to keep the word of the Lord alive through your genealogy. Now then, some generations choose to be wicked. And what happens then during that generation is they suffer. That generation suffers. During the periods when the kings were wicked, the whole nation suffered. They suffered the curses that they brought upon themselves. You see? And in like manner, we do the same thing. When our generations are ungodly, those generations suffer. But every one of you, regardless of what the generations just past you were, say you're the first Christian in your whole family, in generations. God came on the scene and said, I want this one. I want you to be my chosen person, to bear the precious seed of the Word of God, to execute vengeance for me in this earth, and to bear from now on righteous seed in the earth. You see, it's our choice. If we're going to be righteous and teach our children righteousness and be a light for the rest of our extended family, that they too might come to the knowledge of God and then through them righteousness be in the earth, or are we going to be dark, lost generations where the word of the Lord does not cover our family, and then for those generations we reap all kinds of havoc? Now Larry's family is a good example of this, of all of what I've just said. His great-great-grandfather was a circuit-riding Methodist preacher. His son was a reprobate. His father went blind, the circuit-riding preacher went blind, and he had his son sit and read the scriptures to him, and his son hardened his heart, hated it, got bitter, and was a reprobate. Then he had Sonny, Larry's daddy, who did not receive the Lord as a kid, didn't have a real living experience with the Lord as a child, went to war, came home, became an alcoholic, and it was years then before the prayers of his seed and his wife began to become effectuated in him so that he was redeemed. You see? But he was redeemed, and then his seed is continuing in the earth, righteous, and doing great exploits. Isn't that great? Yeah. So see, it's a great picture of redemption. It's a great picture of redemption. So for every one of you, regardless of where you've come from, there's where you are right now is right here. And you have come because you love God. Amen. And not just because probably. We didn't start out just loving God because, oh, we just love God. No. What has probably happened is at some point along the way, we got desperate enough to say, I don't have all the answers. There's got to be somebody who does. He's got to be bigger than me because I need somebody to carry me. I'm too heavy. And so we came to the place we cried out on the mercy of God, and he answered us, and he redeemed our lives from destruction. Amen. But what has happened is God has assigned us to be righteous seed in the earth. The devil at the same time has assigned spirits to our families to make sure, to ensure that we don't make it. And many of you sitting there today understand the power of the enemy because of his destruction in your home. You've lost your marriage, you've lost children, you've lost loved ones to disease. So the enemy we are battling here is not some little easy to get along with, done play hardball kind of fella. He has no mercy. But the weapons that we have been given by God are mighty through God to the pulling down of these strongholds. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. And the ones he's given us that we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, and we do not love our life unto the death. I'll address this last one first. Loving our life unto the death. You know what? If you are daily laying down your life for the Lord, if you are daily saying, Lord, not my will, but yours be done in me, if you are daily yielding yourself to him, and when he points something out to you that is not godly and you don't hide it, but you run to him and say, Lord, get rid of this in me. I hate this. if you are denying yourself and taking up your cross every day and following him, doing his will, laying down your life unto the death, if there ever comes the big time, you know, whenever the ultimate happens and you're martyred or something, that's not going to be the big deal because you've been doing that every day for years. You see how that works? So I don't fear that because I am doing that every day. And I figure like Corrie Ten Boom's father told her, she said, well, Daddy, what do I do? You know, when, how's it, you know, if something big happens at the end, how am I going to be able to bear it? He said, you'll do it one day at a time. When you need it, it'll be there if you're doing it one day at a time. Right? And we've been learning about the blood, that the blood, we take that stuff and we apply it. It doesn't just sit over there in the basin on the altar of God, but that stuff is living and it is to be used. And how we apply the blood all over our families. And when the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy, he is faced with the living blood of Jesus that speaks. Right. But then we have to agree with the blood. And that's the word of our testimony. Now then, the scripture talks about whenever you come before God, don't be rash in what you say. Don't just pop off. It says, because God is in heaven and you're upon the earth. So let your words be few. But the words God likes to hear are his own words. It's his words that said, let there be light, and something happened. It was his words that he said, that Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And out comes this guy who was dead, now alive. It's his words that said, peace, be still. And the wind and the waves were calmed. It was his words that he spoke and said, little girl, I say unto you, get up. And the dead little girl came to life again. Or it was his words that said, I will be healed. And the blind man's eyes were opened. And the lady with the issue of blood was cleansed. It's the living word of God that works. Now then, instead of us, whenever we go to pray, instead of us getting before God and go, oh God, you know this situation is so terrible. Oh God, I don't know what to do about this situation. God, correct him. Lord, he is wrong. God, jerk a knot in his tail and make him obey. Oh God, I wish he'd do it this way. Lord, this is the best way. And you telling God what's good? Hey, do you know our perspective is just about this big? It's just about that big and it's just as narrow as it can be. We've all got one, though. But none of us have the whole story. But our Father does. He knows the end from the beginning. That's the reason he alone is smart enough to judge. So we have to look at his perspective. Well, it's written in the Word. So let's look at his perspective. Today, I want to first of all give you some general scriptures that are good to pray over yourself, to pray over your family, to pray over those you love, those you're concerned about, your boss, whatever the situation is. Then after I do that, Kathy Casto, Johnny's wife who leads early morning prayer, Kathy's the one, by the way, who has taught me how to do this. So I wanted her to share in this. I want her to come and share specific scriptures on how to pray for husbands, how to pray for wives, how to pray for children. All right? Now then, in all of this, whether you're single, whether you've never had children, whether you've been married 5 times, it doesn't matter. All these scriptures, there's going to be something that's going to apply to where you are today. But I want you to get out your Bible and a pen. And I suggest to you that you don't even write these scriptures on a piece of paper. That you find a place in the back of your Bible, because when you pray, do you go always and look for this particular notebook that you're writing on today? Probably not. You'll leave it in your suitcase for the next 2 months. So I suggest that you find, you know, in the back of your Bible, there's several empty pages. Use them for something really seriously good. Make you maybe designate some pages. I have one that says husbands. And every time I find me a good scripture for Larry Lee, I write it down back there. Then I got one for children. Whenever I find a good one for the kids, I write it down back there. Then I got me a page for me. You know, Lord, let the meditations of my heart, my mouth be acceptable, that kind of stuff. Create in me a clean heart. Those kind of scriptures for me. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, get you a page going here today, all right? Jot you down some of these scriptures. We'll give you where it's found. We'll read the scripture. And the ones that grab your heart, man, write them down. Okay? Because these things are your weapons and your tools. I also suggest that if you don't have a Bible that has a concordance in it, that you get one for your anniversary or your birthday or for past April Fools or Valentine's or Christmas or whatever you need to use as an excuse, but you get you one that has a concordance. Because what you do is the Holy Spirit will quicken just a little piece of a verse to you, and you won't know where that thing is. And you need to go look it up, because that's one of your bullets. That's one of your arrows. Go find that scripture. Go ask your Larry Lee, who's a walking concordance, and write it down back there in your Bible. Then what you do is every day as you're praying through the prayer, remember that prayer? The prayer? Yeah, you've heard about that this week, son? Yeah. Yeah. Okay, when you get to the second part that says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," and you're praying over your priorities, Lord, me. Okay, first of all, you flip over there in the back and you find your list on you. And you declare to the Lord his word concerning you. You don't declare to the Lord, "Oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. Oh, Lord, I'm never going to make it. Oh, God, you know I'm such a failure. Oh, stop it." You know? Are you going to advance one little inch in God going on that way? No, that doesn't move him at all. See, that is not what's called faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. So you're taking a bunch of words and standing before God, and he said, "Whoop, don't do that." He said, "Let your words be few." So let the ones you speak to him be the ones he likes, his words. Okay? So find some of his words. "Lord, I thank you today that greater are you who lives in me than he that's in the world. I will not fear, no matter what man says against me. I will not be afraid of their faces." You see? "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I do have the mind of Christ." Just stuff like that. Declare those things over your life. Then, over your children, over your husband, your priorities. Find those scriptures every day. "Your kingdom come today, Lord. That's all I'm allowing here. Your will be done. There's no room for anything else." See how that works? And I tell you, from experience, Kathy knows this. And those of you who have done this in your life, you start praying the Word of God, and things that have not moved before, they will move.
Amen.
And they will move quickly. You will see a quick action here. Because the sword of the Spirit is active. It is quick. It is powerful. It is alive. Okay? And the Word has power within itself. There is a power within the Word of God to do things that you do not have the power to do. We're talking about the power that's in the universe. We're talking about the power that created the heavens and the earth. There they were. It's that power that's going to move heaven and earth in your life. It's that power that's going to move the mountains out of your loved ones' lives. It's that power that's going to break the power of the devil. And those addictions, hey, those things can, I mean, the axe can be laid to the root overnight by the Word of God. Not by you striving, not by you trying to correct, not by you telling them what you think, how you think it ought to be done. They're sick of it. It makes them get harder in their resolve to do it their way. So you don't say anything else to them except, "I love you, you're a great person," whatever, you know, being sweet. And then you get with God and you get your weapons out and you start hacking away on those spirits that have them bound. That's the way you go after it. See those spirits, how their eyes blinded. Right? That's what the scripture says. That the God of this world has blinded the minds of those who would believe from receiving the truth. So what does that really say? It says, if you can get That spirit that has blinded their mind, broken off of them, what are they going to do? Receive the truth. See how easy that is? So instead of worrying, oh God, he was out all night again last night. Oh God, what's he doing? Oh God, is his life going to be destroyed? Oh God, did he wreck the car? Oh God, you know, all this stuff. No, 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 no. That doesn't move anything except wear you out. But you come against that spirit. In Jesus' name, I stand against you, you spirit. You spirit of addiction, I rebuke you in the mighty name of Jesus. I put the blood of Jesus all over you. You cannot pass through here. I command your power to be broken in Jesus' name. You see how that works? And then you take the specific scriptures that God has given you over that person. This man will be a man of God. He will be a tree of righteousness. He will be planted by the rivers of water. He will not be sitting in the seat of the scornful. Da, da, da. His leaf shall not wither. Whatsoever he does shall prosper. I declare it over him in the mighty name of Jesus. You see? You start hacking away on those spirits with what? The Word of God. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. Woo, yes, this is so good. And then here is a wonderful verse. He honors his word above his name. He honors his word above his name. Let me find where that one's found for you. Psalm 138, 2. Yeah, thank you. Psalm 138, verse 2. It says, he honors his word above his name. So what happens is when the enemy comes into the court of God, and he says, God, I want to take this one out. He's mine. He's mine. I've dragged him so far down. Now he's mine. You know what a wretch he is. You know he's a sinner. You know he's full of sin. He had never repented. Jesus the merciful says, Father, just this morning, his loved one was saying, oh God, have mercy on this man. I put the blood of Jesus on him. In Jesus' name, grant him repentance unto salvation. I declare over his life that he will be a tree of righteousness. Lord, I beseech you, your word says that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and you turn it wherever you want it to go. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, I beseech you, take his heart and turn it, oh God. Oh God, turn his heart to you. And the Father says, Jesus, I'd probably do it just because it's in your name, but because that's my word, I have to honor that legally. I'm bound by my word. Amen. And so he says, devil, you lost another one. Woo, that's good. Yes. So now what I want you to do is get out your pen and write down these scriptures. These are general scriptures about the eyes, the ears, your feet, your hands. Okay, here's a good one. Proverbs 1:19, 18. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. This is a good place to start, because whenever you start praying, when you start praying, and you ask God for specific verses for people, and you go, God, this is a huge book. There's 66 books in here. Where do I begin to look? Well, first of all, you take Psalm 119, verse 18. Proverbs, there's not that many. Psalm 119, verse 18. You take it before God, and you say, Lord, I don't know where to start. So open my eyes. Open my eyes so that I can behold wondrous things out of your law. Isn't that a good one? All right. Then Matthew 6, 22 and 23. You can begin to declare, the light of the body is the eye. Therefore, if your eye is single, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is evil, your whole body will be full of darkness. So you can take that one and you can say, Lord, I want a single eye. I want an eye, Lord, that is focused on you, that does not look to the right hand or to the left, because I want my eye to be full of light. Lord, I don't want my eye to be evil and full of darkness. You see how you take a scripture like that and you take it before God and you work that thing in you You axe all that sin in you. Lord, turn your flashlight into my heart. Open my heart. Show me, Lord, the darkness in my heart. Dispel the darkness, oh God. You see? All right. Proverbs 20:12. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made both of them. And I'm praying all the time, God, give me ears to hear. Lord, I want the kind of ears that I really hear. Not the kind I wonder did I hear. Right? But open my ears that I can hear. I thank you, Lord, that you're the one who made the seeing eye and the hearing ear. So I thank you, Lord, it's your will, according to your word, that I hear. Open my ears today. Help me to hear even more distinctly your voice, Holy Spirit. For it's God, this is verse 6. No. 2 Corinthians 4:4. The God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest they receive the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, and that it should shine unto them. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So you say, thank you, Lord, for removing the blinders from my eyes today. Help me to see clearly the face of Jesus. Help me as I behold him to be transformed into his image. You see? Help me to be transformed into his image so that when others look at me, they'll want to ask me of the hope that is in me. Right? Yeah. And on and on and on and on you can go. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Father, today I present my body unto you, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto you, which is only my reasonable service. It only makes sense to serve you. And I'll not be conformed to this world, but I will be transformed by the renewing of my mind. You see how you take that sword and you execute it against the enemies of your own person. And you conform your mind into the image of Christ. You transform it. All right. Proverbs 15:20. I ask you to help me to be a wise person who brings joy to my father. It's a wise son who brings joy to his father. Psalm 127:1. Come and build my house through me today, that I do not labor in vain. You build your house by yourself, you labor in vain. But when the Lord builds the house, it'll stand. That's right. Yes. Yes. Ephesians 1:17, open my eyes that I may see wisdom and revelation, that I can know you better. Right? Amen. Yes. Lord, give me the spirit of wisdom and knowledge, revelation, counsel and might, and the fear of the Lord. All of these, see, are great scriptures for you that you can pray over you daily. You can pray these over your family. They're just good, general scriptures.
Melva Lee continues the message on the other side of this tape.
Now then, Kathy, come tell us some specific ones for husbands, wives, and kids. Y'all say, hello, Kathy.
Hello, Kathy. Hello, hello. Hello. Okay, this is for husbands. We're going to take off first for them. The first one is Psalm 1, 1 through 3. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight will be in the law of the Lord, and in his law he will meditate day and night. He will be planted by the streams of living water, whose will bear his fruit in season, and his leaves will not wither. Now, to go along with that, we pray Proverbs 25:5, which says, remove the wicked from his presence, that he can be established in righteousness. And add to that Psalm 142:7. It says, then the righteous will gather around me. If you pray the wicked away from him, you got to pray the righteous around him. Isaiah 11:2-3. Melva Jo just gave you this. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. Wisdom and understanding, counsel and power, knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 21:1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and he directs it like a watercourse wherever he pleases. You can't tell him what to do, but you come in agreement with the Father, and he drops it in his heart. Malachi 4:6, turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. If your husband needs boldness, you bind the spirit of timidity off of him. 2 Timothy 1:7, he has not given him the spirit of timidity, but what? Power and love and sound-mindedness or self-discipline in the NIV. Proverbs 28:1, the righteous are bold as a lion. The wicked man flees with no one pursuing. Psalm 138:3, it says, when you call, I will answer and make you bold and stout-hearted. And we always want the favor of the Lord our God to be on our husbands. Psalm 90:17, that he will establish the work of his hands for him. All right, for the wives, husbands, this is for you. In Proverbs 14:1, it says, the wise woman builds her house, but the foolish woman tears it down with her own hands. Psalm 127:1, unless the Lord builds through your wife, she will labor in vain. So you pray that for her. And then you turn over to Proverbs 31. My husband prays this over me every day. And I know it's being done in the heavenlies and it's working out in me. But especially Proverbs 31:12, it says that she brings him good and not harm all the days of her life. Verse 26, that wisdom and faithful instruction will be on her tongue. 27, she will watch over the affairs of her household and not eat the bread of idleness. 28, her children will rise and call her blessed. And then the husbands will be able to praise her. And then in Proverbs 12:4, it says that the wife of noble character becomes her husband's crown. So you pray this over your wife, and she will become what you pray, just as Melva Jo is teaching you here. Okay, for the children, Isaiah 54:13 says that the Spirit of the Lord will teach our children, and great will be their peace. Proverbs 23:12 says that apply your heart to instruction and your ears to words of knowledge. You see, we want them to have teachable spirits. Another one to go along with that is Proverbs 9:9. It says, instruct a wise man and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man and he will add to their learning. But we have to keep their spirits open. Proverbs 20:12 says, ears that hear and eyes that see, the Lord has made them both. Ephesians 6:1 through 3, it says, honor your father and mother. I tell my children this, listen, if you honor your dad and me, it says in the Bible that your days will be long upon the face of the earth and it will go well with you. And if you don't honor me, then it will not go well with you. So, I mean, let's just get the word out and show them. Say, look at these promises. This is the first commandment given with a promise. And when you show honor to us, the Lord will multiply your days on the face of this earth. Okay. Luke 2:52, it says that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man daily. And if Jesus could grow in wisdom and stature as a child, I want my children to grow in wisdom and stature, not only with favor with man, but favor with God. If we have favor with God, we'll have favor with man. And then Psalm 138:8, it says, fulfill your purpose, O Lord. Do not abandon the working of your hands. That's my heart's cry. Fulfill your purpose in me, in my husband, my children. Do not abandon the work of your hands.
Aren't those great scriptures? One of my favorite ones that I pray over Larry every day, over the ministry, Larry the Ministries, and over Church on the Rock, over our elders and our pastors there at the church, is Proverbs 25:5. And Kathy mentioned this one, but it says, take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne shall be established in righteousness. And that is a simple little verse, but it is a very powerful sword. Maybe it's your boss. Maybe it's your husband. Maybe it's one of your children, but they're surrounded by people that are not the influence on them that they need. Maybe you don't even know. You don't know everything that's going on in the office. You don't know who's trying to undermine your husband or your wife or your boss that would ultimately even endanger your job. So you take that verse and you say, Lord, any wicked, whether they're inside or whether they're outside, remove them from the presence of the king. Remove them. It's a good one to pray over President Bush. If there's any wicked around him, Lord, remove them from the presence of the king so that his throne can be established in righteousness. Because when the righteous rule, the land is in peace. The land is blessed. When the wicked are in rule, the land groans. And it does not go well with us, the children of God. So this is a great general verse to execute vengeance against the enemy. Right? Whether you know about any problem specifically or if you're just preventing problems. But I tell you, this verse works quickly. We have seen people moved out of places of authority that we didn't even know were problem people until after the fact. But God moved them out. Yeah, it's a great verse. All right, now then, the reason we've done this is because it's not so that you can sit there and look at us and go, well, we're having us a little Bible study this afternoon. Years ago, I just remembered as I was getting ready, years and years ago, lo, these many years, about 20 now, yes. Didn't it shock you the first time you ever said 20 years ago, da 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 da, and I went, 20 years ago? I'm not 20 years old hardly. How could this happen? Yeah, well, anyway, that's a sign that I am growing older, but I am not old. Yes. Anyway, where was I? Yes. I was reminded today that a long time ago, I was sitting in a Sunday school class, and the teacher taught something very similar to this. He taught us to go through the scriptures and find scriptures that applied to situations and to people, and to write those things down and to pray them to God. And I went, oh, what a wonderful revelation. And I was a hearer of the word and not a doer. I wonder what different direction my life would have taken, how I would have affected people, the heartache that could have been avoided, if I'd have just done that simple little exercise every day, because God honors His word. Okay. Here are some scriptures for your righteous seed. Isaiah 8:18. Behold, starting with yourself. I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and wonders in Israel. Whoa, do you like that one? Our kids are not for junk. Our kids are not for carnality and the spirit of the world. They are not to be fodder for the God of this world. But our kids are for signs and wonders in Israel. Yes! You want to know where that is again? That's Isaiah 8:18. Psalm 112:1-2. Blessed is the man that fears the Lord, that delights greatly in His commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. Not his seed shall be puny on the earth, or his seed will just barely make it on the earth, or maybe his seed won't get knocked off. No. His seed's going to be what? Mighty in the earth. Now believe that about your kids, even where they are right now in the situation they're in. Your seed's going to be mighty in the earth. I and the children the Lord has given to me. That's not just for those of you who have no children. That is not just physical seed. It's a seed the Lord your God will give to you. Who's that? It may be your grandchildren. It may be that little Sunday school class of kids. It may be that friend that you've prayed for and worked with for years. Who knows? It's the seed that the Lord gives you. So if you haven't had a lot of seed in the past, you may have a lot of seed in the future. All right? But you remember that all your seed are going to be mighty in the earth. And they are only for signs and wonders. Okay. Now, we have a promise in Malachi 2:15 that God wants a godly seed. So if you have any problems thinking, well, my seed, maybe that's for somebody else, but not mine. Mine are too far gone. There's no hope for them. No. It's the will of God. Hey, don't you know, anything that is the will of God, you can have it? Yeah. It's the stuff that's not the will of God you can't have. It's the stuff that is the will of God that's yours. Jesus already bought it for you. He's just sitting over there in the store waiting for you to come get it. Okay, so it's God wants a godly seed. Malachi 2:15 says so. So I thank you, Father, you want a godly seed. I thank you, Lord, my children are going to serve you. You see? Yeah. All right. Psalm 127:3. Children are the heritage of the Lord. He's the one who gave them to you. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. Those kids that you worry about, they really are a reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that has a quiver full of them. Okay, here's the promise. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. When you're ashamed, you don't speak with enemies. You hide from enemies. When you aren't ashamed, when your kids are mighty, because they know who they are in God, because you've been quoting scriptures over them and to them forever. Yeah, when they see the enemy, they aren't ashamed. They don't hide. They don't wait for the enemy to speak to them. They speak to the enemy. See, there's no fear there. They're going to speak to the enemy in the gate. That's Psalm 127:3. And that's a good one for kids who are intimidated at school. You know, children can be really mean. They really can. And if you have a child that's picked on, take this one and execute it against those spirits that are controlling those other children, tormenting your child. Say, my child is going to stand up. My child's going to be mighty in the earth. My child has not been given the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And I stand against you, you spirits that are trying to destroy him. He shall not be ashamed, but he shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Yeah. Then Isaiah 59:21. The word of the Lord, I love this one. I love it particularly because the Holy Spirit spoke it to me one day for my kids. It was a personal deal, you know. I wasn't even hunting for it. He just gave it to me. It was a living word to me. He said, the word of the Lord shall not depart out of your mouth. I went, thank you, Jesus. That means whenever I do stand up, I will have something to say. The word of the Lord will not depart out of your mouth. And then he said, nor out of the mouth of your seed. And I went, oh God, that's great. Thank you, Jesus. That means John Aaron, who's already preaching, he's not going to get discouraged down the road and have burnout and quit. But the word of the Lord's not going to depart out of his mouth. And that Joanna and Joy Elizabeth, the word of the Lord's going to be in their mouth. Yay, Joanna. And the will of the Lord is going to be done with them. Whatever that is, if that's being a mama and raising children, the word of the Lord's going to be in their mouth, and in their tongue's going to be the law of kindness. Wisdom and revelation and knowledge in the will of God for their children. Or if that means they're going to be teachers, the word of the Lord's not going to depart out of their mouth. If they have jobs, wisdom's going to be in their mouth. And when they sit at the gate, if that means they're a receptionist, they sit at the gate. Wisdom's going to sit there because they're sitting there. You see, wisdom sits at the gate. So whatever, each one of my children, each one of them, the word of the Lord's not going to depart out of their mouth. And then he said, nor out of the mouth of their seed. And I went, oh God, this is so good. See, I'm 39 now. I'm going to be 40 this year, the big 4-0. And I'm getting gooder as I get older. I mean, it is so much fun because, and particularly at this point in life, you've lived long enough you can look back and see a few things, you know? And you're young enough that you can still look with hope and faith toward the future. And so I'm looking, because my kids are teenagers now, I'm looking that before too many years, not in the next 2 or 3 or 5, maybe 10, I'll have grandkids. And I think, oh boy, this is going to be so much fun. It's not going to be just little snotty-nosed, dirty diaper kids running around, squalling and bawling, and, Mom, will you please take care of my kids for me for a while? I'm about to go crazy. It's not going to be that, although that is some days. Yeah. But it's going to be, oh God, what a great opportunity, because the word of the Lord is going to be in their generation too, because it's going to come right through my grandkids. You see, you got to look at things the way God does. You got to look for the eternal in the mundane. Because grandkids have to have diapers changed and noses wiped. That's the mundane. But in the middle of all that, you got to see these kids are for signs and wonders in the earth. They are to be mighty in the earth. They are to speak with the enemies in the gate. Nothing by any means shall harm them. No, nothing. You see, and you stand over those grandkids looking at them as God sees them, that through them the righteous seed is going to be established in the earth, that the word of the Lord is going to be in their mouth, that it's not going to depart, and that as you teach them how to pray like this, then they're going to hear words from God. They're going to get words from God. Maybe they'll get the one that the word of the Lord will not depart out of their mouth, nor out of the mouth of their seed, nor out of the mouth of their seed's seed. And the prayers you pray will be going on for at least 6 generations. Isn't that great? Now, does that make anybody happy today? Yes. Oh, devil, you just have yourself a fit. We are having a good time today. Lord, I thank you for the power of the word. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Now then, I want you to take the words of the Lord that you've heard today that have penetrated your heart. There have been one or two things, probably, that have really caught your attention. Hey, I can use that one. I can use that one. That's mine. Yeah, what was that one again? I want to write it down. Okay? Now, those are weapons for you. All right? Or that's your hoe or your rake to garden around that little plant you're working with. You see? Don't get your hoe and your rake mixed up with your sword, though. Don't take one of these verses and cut down your tender plant with it. Verses are to be taken and executed against the enemy. They are to be taken and stood before God, saying, Lord, these are your promises. These are to be taken and used in your prayer closet. And only at the right time, in the right spirit, do you take the word of God and use it in the life of a child or another person, because you don't want to turn them off. You see what I'm saying? You don't want to injure them. You are not the one who takes the sword of the Spirit. See, it's the sword of the Spirit, and he knows the right time to put it in. You don't just take it and go along hacking around on people. But you can take it and hack all day long on the devil. You see? So that's just a little bitty word there of wisdom. All right, so what we're going to do now, oh, this is going to be wonderful. First of all, together, we are going to come into a spirit of agreement over those that the Lord our God has given us. And we are going to bind the spirit of destruction, all right, that's been loosed against our family. That's the first thing we're going to do. So let's stand up. Put everything out of your hand right now. And let's come into that spirit of agreement. There's power, such power in agreement. If just one or two of us agree on anything we ask, it's done for us. We have several thousand, a couple, 3,000 here today. So that agreeing power is multiplied now on your behalf. So let's stand here together today before God. And let's stand in agreement. Pray with me now. Father in heaven, repeat with me. Father in heaven, I thank you today that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I thank you, Father, that the word of God is nigh us, even in our mouth. It is the word of faith. I thank you, Father, for the blood of Jesus. Spirit of destruction that seeks to destroy my family. And I say, devil, no farther. I take the blood of Jesus and I apply it all over my family. Thank you, Lord. Now then, just see yourself applying the blood of Jesus over every one of your family members. Father, we just take that blood, the living blood, and we apply it, Lord, over our family now, Lord. Call out their names to it. Call out those you're concerned about, whether they're immediate family or not, whoever it is that's in your heart today, call out to God for them and apply the blood of Jesus over them. Thank you, Lord, that the blood of Jesus was shed for every one of them, oh Lord. Thank you, Holy One. Thank you, Lord. And now, Father, we take the word of our testimony. Thank you, Father. We take the word of our testimony. And we say together, say this with me, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. But every tongue that arises against me in judgment, I will condemn it. For this is my heritage. Because I'm a servant of the Lord. And my righteousness is of Him. So Satan, loose your hold. You spirit of destruction, I command you in the name of Jesus and according to the word of God and through the blood of the Lamb to release your hold on these I love. Praise you, Father. Now then, execute vengeance through praise. Begin to praise the Lord. Take the words that the Lord has given you today, the scriptures that He has dropped into your heart today, the specific words, your weapons, okay? And here in these last couple of minutes, we're going to stand before God. The scripture says, take words and come before God. All right? So we're going to take the words that He has given us today, and we're going to come before Him now. And we're going to execute vengeance on a personal level concerning those God has put in our hearts specifically today. This is your starting place, okay? This is your starting place. So I want you to just begin to lift it up to the Lord. Just begin to quote that verse to Him. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word today. Thank you, Father, for your word that's living word today. Father, I thank you today, oh God, that godliness with contentment is great gain, Father. I thank you, Lord, that my husband is going to be content, oh God. I thank you that he's going to be a righteous man, oh God, planted by the trees, planted as a tree by the rivers of living water, Father, that he will bring forth fruit in his season, that his leaf shall not wither, oh God, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I thank you for my children, oh God, today, that they will be mighty in the earth, oh God, not because they feel that they have to be, oh God, not because they have to strive to be, oh God, but because of your promise, oh God, in them, Lord, that they will be mighty in the earth according to the word of God, because the word of the Lord is going to dwell in them richly, oh God, teaching them and admonishing them, oh Lord, in truth. Thank you, Father, that they'll not be conformed to this world, but they'll be transformed by the renewing of their minds, oh God. Thank you, Lord, that the word of the Lord will not depart out of their mouths, oh God, but that the word will be in my mouth, in the mouth of their daddy, oh God, in their mouths, oh God, in the mouth of their children, oh God. Thank you, Holy One. Thank you, oh God, for your great and precious promises whereby we can take hold of eternal life. Praise you, mighty God. Hallelujah to you, oh God. Praise you, Holy One of Israel. Praise you, Almighty God. Blessed be your name of the Lord. Praise you, Holy One. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Just give Him thanks now. Thank you, Lord. Just begin to thank Him. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to worry before you anymore, God. But thank you, Lord, that we can stand before you in faith, oh God, declaring what we know to be your will, oh Lord. Praise you, Father, for your word that is your will, oh God. Thank you, Father, that you honor your word even above your name, oh Lord. Thank you, Father, that your word will not return void, but it will accomplish that you send it to do. Praise you, Father. We give you glory today in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, God.
The Basic Training Series is continued on the next tape. If you desire more information about the Prayer Army, write to Larry Lee, Rockwall, Texas, 75087. And don't miss Larry Lee's daily television program, Change Your Life. Check your local broadcast and cable listings for the time and station in your area.
At the end of the apostolic age. Listen, well, just a minute now, I'll show you in our Bibles. No, you don't. Don't show me in your Bible. You show me in my Bible. I want to know it's in a good Methodist Bible. Well, the Bibles are just the same. I said, never mind. I'm the one that has to face this thing. And they began to show me the scriptures. I began to get more and more hungry. I began to seek the Holy Ghost. And all of this is the result of the fire fell here. Think of it. And the fire is still falling. 33 years have come and 33 years have gone. Today I believe there are millions of people baptized of the Holy Ghost on this earth. You'll find them in India, China, the Philippines, Africa, at home and abroad. The message upon my heart that I would bring to you is this. That though Pentecost is spread here, there, yonder, leap continents, seas, oceans, top the rich, the poor, the high, the low, yet we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Amen. And this, the message that I bring to you this morning. 1 Corinthians 12:12. For as a body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles. I might go on and say black or white, yellow or brown, pink or green, doesn't make a little difference. Whether we be bond or free, out of the old slavery days, we have all been made to drink into the one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Glory to Jesus. But now has God set the members in the body as please him. And let there be no schism in the body. But every member should have the same care one of the other. And I believe this morning as we open the glorious Azusa rally, revival and time of remembrance, that it would behoove us well to stand and ask the Holy Ghost to cleanse our hearts. First, let us stand and sing together, Lord, make us one.
You have been listening to Evangelist Amy Semple McPherson. If you would like information on how you can obtain other messages by Sister McPherson, please contact Foursquare Publications, 1100 Glendale Boulevard, Los Angeles, California, 90026. That's Foursquare Publications, 1100 Glendale Boulevard, Los Angeles, California, 90026.